Good morning. We have to wait for my presentation to load, okay, and so I can use the mouse to advance it. Okay, this talk is going to be on what I discovered about construction workers in Nevada, particularly Las Vegas. Let's see. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. Here are some statistics on occupational injuries to Latino construction workers in Nevada. The lighter colored blocks represents whites, and the darker color represents injuries to Latinos. So in 2006, more than half of the injuries that occurred to Latino construction workers. I left off the other ethnic groups, but when you have 51%, it really doesn't matter because they dominate. Of course, we really don't know if this is a disparity or not, because we don't know what the denominator is. And there, when I moved to Las Vegas in 2006, I couldn't pick up the paper without finding stories about deaths occurring in construction. And previous to moving to Las Vegas, I had done research on back injuries, musculoskeletal injuries, particularly in healthcare workers. But as soon as I got to Las Vegas at the height of the construction boom, it was obvious there was something going on. And just as an armchair epidemiologist reading what I could read in the paper, it seemed that workers with Hispanic last names were being injured on the ground with trenching disorders, or trenching trenches caving in, confined space incidents, and the people falling from the high-rise construction had Anglo last names. So in looking at the statistics for Nevada, of course 2006 wasn't out yet, it became obvious that Latinos were being injured at a pretty high rate. So I wrote a grant on R03 to NIOSH, which was not only not funded, it was not scored. So then I tried to get one of the employers, one of the big construction companies, interested in this research, and I was warned away from that, saying there was no problem. I went on a radio show, and I was also told that the other people who, there was a state legislature who's also president of the Association of General Contractors and other people, and they made the statements on the radio show that it was the workers' fault, and that if I really wanted to do something, that I should lobby Nevada OSHA to ticket workers for doing unsafe acts, that it was not the responsibility of employers. So I realized I had fallen down the rabbit hole. So I went to the dean and I explained that I needed some help. So she gave me some money to do pilot study, and she also funded a bilingual researcher for me. So to get more information, I decided to do a qualitative study to find out just what the dangers were as perceived by the Latino construction workers, particularly since it's quite well known that OSHA recordable injuries are underreported, and particularly among immigrants. So the Pew Hispanic Center said that most of the new jobs being created in construction were being filled by Latinos. I did a research study, and it showed that once injured, a Latino worker has a greater chance of permanent impairment. And one study showed that their length of disability was 15 times longer than a non-Latino. And a recent study showed that Latino workers were much less likely to receive workers' compensation for their injuries. So my qualitative study that I set out to find out is, as I said, what are the risk factors for this probable occupational health disparity? And what do the Latino workers themselves think is the best way to reduce these disparities? So I conducted 4 focus groups, 90 minutes each. When I say I conducted them, they were in Spanish. My bilingual research assistant conducted them all in Spanish. We completed them in the fall of 2007, thank you, early in the morning. And we held them at various places. One was at a Catholic church with a large Hispanic population, and one, the rest were really at union halls. We were rebuffed by several unions, particularly carpenters and iron workers. Not only rebuffed, my assistant was sworn at and told not that it was private property. He was not to recruit anyone there. And he's quite a meek and mild guy, but we did finally get some traction with the laborers, painters, and sheet metal workers unions who agreed to promote our subject recruitment. Antonio did also attempt to recruit the day laborers who gather outside Star Nursery, but as soon as he would step out of the vehicle with some papers in his hand, everybody would run. So he would call after them in Spanish, saying he wasn't immigration, but they were gone. We couldn't quite get into that subject pool, so we were really limited to just unionized workers. And we standardized the focus group outline, and as I said, everything was conducted in Spanish. I was there to observe body language and other things. So to be in the study, I had to have been employed in the construction industry in the past 6 months. They identified themselves as Latino, and they had the ability to speak and understand Spanish. Some were bilingual. And we did have at least one woman in each of the groups. So after the focus groups, we met and compared observations. Antonio transcribed the audio tapes into Spanish, then translated them into English, and then we met and organized and identified themes. So we found pretty quickly there was quite a gradient in perceived risks. Laborers and painters are considered lower skilled in the construction trades versus sheet metal workers, who are considered higher skills. And we did find quite a difference between the two. It's almost as if we had a control group. But we did find some themes common to all, and then our task was trying to decide which ones were particular to those who were Latino construction workers versus all construction workers. So some of these injury risk factors that were cited by laborers and painters are really common to construction work in general. It's quite a hazardous job. In Las Vegas particularly, there's a lot of economic pressure. They have certain contracts to fulfill. They're selling these condo hotels way before they even start building them. So a lot of the labor is reported being paid by piecework. So many pieces of sheetrock, so many walls painted. And they also said that they were not provided with appropriate tools or safety equipment. They reported wearing dust masks when exposed to paint vapors and so forth, or being told to wear the same safety equipment day after day, even though it was disposable. And that they had very little training. Interestingly enough, they competed with each other for jobs because they were so concerned that they wouldn't have work tomorrow, that they didn't really have a bond with each other to support themselves. And when they came to this country, most were foreign-born. They really didn't have sufficient skills to perform a lot of the tasks. What became quite clear is that there was a danger differential that was being exploited by the supervisors. Many of these workers were most likely here illegally and would accept more hazardous tasks in order to stay employed and also not to avoid not speaking up. And there was a very pronounced belief that the employer was entirely responsible for their safety and that they really were powerless to control their own safety. Unlike in the sheet metal workers, they felt that they themselves were responsible for their safety and that they could have a safe workplace. The lower skilled workers reported a lot more experience with injury than the less than the higher skilled workers. So injury risk factors for all participants. Communication and language skills were number one. Many of them could not understand the directions that they were given by the supervisors. They would often ask someone else on the job, what did he just say, or what am I, how does this fall arrest system work? There were Latino cultural issues where they had high respect for authority, and so they didn't want to ask the supervisor a question go against the orders. No matter how long they'd been in the country or whatever their skill level, they were completely baffled by workers' compensation. Several of them thought that it was like Aflac. If you get sick, some money you paid in came back to you. We did do a little extra probing, and we found that in their own countries, they don't have a similar system. So they really, when they were injured, some of the smaller subcontractors would offer to pay them a flat sum and sort of go away and not make a claim. And they thought that that was the norm. Most were quite health illiterate. They reported that when injured, they would sometimes seek help from a curandero, who's more of a faith healer or somebody in the community whom you go to for advice. And if their injury was beyond the skill level of the curanderos, they would be referred to the traditional system. They couldn't understand the instructions provided by doctors and nurses, and they uniformly criticized the translation of the materials for safety that they were given. My assistant downloaded the information from the state of Nevada Workers' Comp Division that was provided in Spanish, and it was really misinformation and poorly translated. So these factors we came up responsible for the disparity common to all construction workers. Exploitation, 5 minutes, okay. So these are the factors that are responsible for the disparity compared to all construction workers. Particularly the painters and laborers felt exploited. They were worried about their immigration status, which forced them to take more risks in their mind. They had poor communication language skills. Some may also have had been illiterate in their own languages. We unfortunately did not assess that. And understanding of workers' comp, health literacy, and cultural interventions, cultural issues. So we asked them what they preferred. All of the unions offered English as a second language training after work, and they felt that they couldn't sit still in a class for 2 hours. They really wanted more kinesthetic or hands-on learning. They needed more workers' compensation information. And at the end of a work day, they really wanted to be with their families, not sitting in a classroom, and they wanted us to come up with ways to involve their family. So the limitations of the study, we didn't assess the literacy level of the participants. It applies only to union workers in Las Vegas, which is a unique environment. The web of causation there is most likely different from states that don't have state plan OSHA and a small sample size. However, we felt that Las Vegas unions should offer training in Spanish on the workers' comp system, which they were not now providing. We needed more research in other states to see whether some of these factors held up. And definitely, we needed more cultural competency training for supervisors. As I said, I was on the radio show, and the attitude was that these workers were stupid, taking risks of their own accord when, you know, the management couldn't seem to understand. They just didn't know what they were being told to do or how to use the equipment. So in conclusion, we continued to work with the unions, and they they agreed to offer a 10-hour OSHA course. There was a big scandal in the local Las Vegas Sun because a lot of white Anglo-Saxon males kept falling from buildings. And after a while, that got people's attention. And it turns out that Nevada OSHA was settling these claims for much reduced numbers in consultation with the employers. And so now everybody's getting on the bandwagon of safety. And so I went to the first 2 hours of the OSHA 10-hour training course at one of the unions. And it was conducted entirely in English. And I think 70% of that particular union is Latino. And at the break, when I asked the trainer why he was conducting it in English, he said, well, that it's this country, and that's the language we speak here. So they sat through 10 hours. What they learned, I don't know. But there's more work to be done. Thank you. And,